Hi, I'm Jasmine McIntyre, and so I have 6 kids, and I have been homeschooling, I guess, for about 13 years now. So I homeschool. At this point, I have a 2-year-old who I am not homeschooling, but I'm homeschooling from a first grader to a 10th grader right now. And I was just going to share some of the reasons that I love it and how I've been able to do it, you know, successfully, and I'll share that a little later. But first, I'm going to start with some business. So as far as getting started with homeschool in California, it's actually very simple. You just need to fill out a private school affidavit. So I'll just tell you what is a little bit different between California and other states. So for example, in New Hampshire, you don't have... you do have to notify the state, just like California. And in New Hampshire, you have state-mandated subjects that you have to do at home. In California, you do not have to do that. You get to pick whatever subjects you ever want. In New Hampshire, assessments for children who are homeschooled are required. In California, no assessments. Okay, no state testing, nada, nothing. Okay, so that, just to give you an example, in California, surprisingly, we're quite free to homeschool however we want. So what you can do when you begin homeschooling in California is you fill out a private school affidavit. So you would go to, this is the easy way, for example, there's a website that will guide you how to fill it out. It's HSLDA. Homeschool Legal Defense Association, okay, so HSLDA website, and then you put these other 3 letters in if you're searching it, PSA, that means private school affidavit. Anyways, once you do that, they will walk you through how to fill in a private school affidavit. So what they'll do is they'll say, what's the name of your school? I said the name of my school is Vista del Capitan School, that's the name of my street. Hers is Cornerstone School, or Christian School. Mm-hmm. That's the name of her street, Cornerstone. So you just make up your name. It's going to ask you for the administrator, 2 officers. One is the administrator. So my husband, her husband too. We named our husband's headmaster, and I put his name in. That's his title. And then for myself, I'm the head teacher, and I put my name in. You fill it out. Next, it's going to say what kind of school. And you just fill it in and say, we're coeducational. You know, we do male and female students. Then it says, are there any special services? You know, you can say none, or you just leave it blank, keep it simple. And then it will say, what grades do you cover? So I have a wide range of children, so I say K through 12. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you have one child and they're in 8th grade, just say 8th. Or 8 through 12, whatever you want to say. And then it'll say how many students are in. You don't have to give the student's name. You just say, you know, I have 4 students. These are their ages. That's all you need.
Grade levels, yeah.
Oh, grade levels. Excuse me, grade levels. These are my students. These are their grade levels. And that's it. So it's really pretty simple to sign up. I would say 15 minutes, maybe, you know, give or take. And you're done. You're signed in. You're legal for California now. You can homeschool however you want. And so what we're saying is if you homeschool, it's actually quite simple to advance your student in a level, like, you know, skip a grade. So it's not official. You're not asking anyone's permission. It's just you fill out your homeschool affidavit and you put the grade you want them to be. And then the next year when you fill it out, if you want to skip them, then you're not signing in their names. You're just saying what grades your student are, so you just say your next student is
2 grade levels ahead,
you know. So it's quite simple to begin legally. And, you know, homeschool is great, too, if your child is immature and they're not very at their grade level, state standards grade level, that's okay. You're homeschooling and you don't have to tell your child, I've held you back a year. You just say, this is the schoolwork we're doing together. They don't know any different. You know, they don't know if they're behind. They don't need to compare themselves to anyone. There is no student to compare themselves to. They just are getting encouragement from you and they're going to be great. So homeschool is really simple for that. Okay, and then I wanted to tell you about HSLDA. So that is Homeschool Legal Defense Association. If you're going to homeschool, it is highly recommended that you join them. So What they do is they have a charge for either something like $100 a year or $10 a month, and they will be your lawyer. So if you ever have any kind of legal problem with anybody, anything, even if you're trying to get your child into a university after they've graduated high school, homeschool, and the university says, no, that's not a legitimate transcript, they will be your lawyer even when they're above 18. You know what I'm saying? They help homeschool families for anything. And they help anyone, they help homeschool families in any country all over the world. So they're beautiful. Also, as far as a resource goes, if you want to know how to homeschool a special needs child, they will help you. If you want to know how do I homeschool a high schooler, how do I homeschool a junior higher, how do I homeschool a child who doesn't want to ever sit still, how do I homeschool a kinesthetic learner or an audio learner, every question you can think of, they have all these resources for you. How do I homeschool with multiple age children? They answer those questions too. Nice resource for you to just like kind of read up on. And, okay, now I want to kind of move forward a little. If you are considering homeschooling older kids and you're concerned with, you know, you can't, like, you know, you might mess up their high school, you know, because high school is a lot more official, there is actually some help for that too. So in California, if you want to... Oh, yeah, yeah, let's hand these out. In California, if you're going to homeschool an older child, then there's just some things right here that are required for you to complete, some subjects for them to get a high school diploma. So, for example, in English, they need 3 years of English. However, if you want your kids to go to a university, like University of California, if you look here, you're going to need at least 4 English courses, 4 years of high school English, and it's going to be a particular kind. So if you want your kid to go to some particular university, all of them have a little bit of different requirements, so look at the university and then arrange your child's high school subjects accordingly, okay? And so this, if you want to send your kid to university, and you're going to want to start thinking and planning ahead at least by 7th or 8th grade. Like, you kind of need to have your mind set by 8th grade, because then you can plan out high school. I homeschool a high schooler. I'm not concerned with her going to university, so I'm not planning accordingly. I'm giving her everything she needs to graduate. I'm just not... You know, you can homeschool your child, and they can go on to community college, and they'll do just fine. You won't mess them up. As far as transcripts go, as far as record keeping, you know, for homeschooling, in high school, record keeping is like highly recommended. So you're gonna wanna fill out a transcript. You can pay HSLDA a very small, I think maybe $15 or $25, and they'll fill out your transcript for your child. You can pay another school like Heritage or Grace. They'll do your record keeping. You could also do it yourself. You can do it yourself. People do this themselves, like through transcript programs, or I think some people print them out themselves, but I would recommend like making it look more official and it has a seal. So that's why I'm going through.
Same thing with the diploma, homeschooling.
Yeah, you can get a homeschool diploma for your child through Homeschool Legal Defense and make it look official and feel official. So that's for high school. And record keeping too. As far as legally record keeping for homeschooling in California, up into 8th grade, you don't really need to keep a track of attendance. You don't need to answer to anybody any samples of your work. You don't need to take your kids for any assessment, any testing, nothing. You don't even need to do that for high school. I take that back. Obviously, you should keep records for high school, but you don't have to answer to anyone or take assessment tests when you're in high school, if you're homeschooling. And so it's really free. We have a lot of freedom here. And is there any questions on that? Yes.
You know the answer to this, but what if, like, we're in military, so what if California doesn't require that stuff, but then we moved to a different state that did, but we hadn't been keeping records and stuff? Would that ever become an issue?
It's not going to become an issue younger than high school.
Okay.
Largely, and probably not even in high school. You just say, I moved from out of state, and I'm going to begin taking records now.
You just, okay. Yeah, you just do what that state requires of you when you register.
When you start there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we hand these out? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's one other, yes?
I have a question.
Yeah.
suppose you have a neighbor that's very nosy.
Yeah.
And they see your children, that's a good point, playing outside during school hours, like in the backyard or whatever, and they report you, and you have someone standing at the front door. What do you do?
Okay. So the question is, suppose you have a neighbor who reports you because they see your children playing in the front yard during school hours, and they report you, and someone comes to your front door. At that point, you will call Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and you'll have legal protection and representation right there. But I will say, in California, you are free to have your kids play outside in the front yard during
school hours.
Yeah, you are free.
Yeah, maybe you did your schoolwork that night before.
I know. Yeah, but some neighbors are really...
That
we used to hide them before 3 o'clock. We used to, yeah.
Goodness.
It was different back then.
Yes.
It's so much freer now.
It is more, and more common now. Thank you for saying that. That does happen. That's why HSLDA has protected people in that situation. Any other questions so far? Yes.
What if you plan on doing like a Christian school later on and you've done homeschool? Is there like requirements from switching from homeschool to that as far as record keeping and tests and whatnot?
Okay, so what's the question? If you want to take your kid from homeschool to private school after that, is there any record keeping that you need? Mm-hmm. So again, that is going to be something you're going to have to ask the school about in particular.
Most private schools will do an assessment. They'll have your child take some tests and assessments to see what grade level they're at. So they're not going to ask to see your body of work before that. They're just going to do their own assessment to determine they're at grade level, or maybe they're above or below, but yeah.
Yeah. And, I'll just leave it there. Okay, so I'm going to move forward. Is that okay? I'm going to start describing. Okay, so I am going to talk about... Oh, homeschooling at home. So I just
want... you didn't describe this paper.
Oh, yeah. Here's Family Protection Ministries. And just to let you know, these men right here, they're a very small working operation in Sacramento, and they go to every legislative meeting in the Capitol, and they read every single bill. And what they do is they look and search it for anything that would harm a family or harm homeschool freedom, and they fight for us, okay? So they have had many successes to keep homeschool free in California, and the most recent one on my mind, I think, is that California tried to mandate kindergarten, and mandating kindergarten is just like one more step that government is getting too close to our young children and, you know, just losing a little bit of freedom as a parent over our children. So what they made it public and asked us to petition, but the bill passed our California Senate, and it went to the governor's desk, and he amazingly did not sign it. So we all chalk that up to answered prayer. By the way, this is Jerry Brown. This isn't the current governor, but this was a couple years ago. And so we all know this because they did the hard work for us. We cannot sit in the legislature every time they meet, but these guys do. They work for us, and so I'm letting you know about them so that we can support them. They work on this. One time they asked for help because they had to like significantly reduce the size of their work, and they needed $1,500. I'm just saying how small their budget is. So these people are great. If you could ever provide $20, $30, $40, $50 a month or something, they work for us, and they are our advocate, and they are a great, good family man. Okay, so now I'm just going to kind of talk. Can you guys, who has young children that they're, you have young? And then who has maybe middle school? You got middle school. And you have high schoolers? And you have a high schooler. Okay, so I'm going to cover a bunch of stuff. Are any of you homeschooling currently? You are. Okay. Well, and let me just start. So I wanted to say that a typical day homeschooling is very different looking than a school. So maybe your kid goes to school from... 8 to 3, Okay, but at homeschool, it's not like that. You don't have to be there 8 to 3. So you also don't have to sit down and spend 1 hour in math, 1 hour in English, 1 hour in history, 1 hour in science. It's not like that. Okay, so you can, you can do science two days a week. You can do history 2 or 3 days a week. You can do math every other day. You understand? You can stagger your days, and you can do schoolwork at the kitchen table or on the couch or in the bedroom or outside in the yard or at the park or at the beach. You understand? Homeschool is very, very different than school. The one of the things about homeschool is that it's a parenting exercise where you are having to have, you know, honorable behavior, respectful behavior, as you're asking them to be respectful to you. You know, it's kind of like parenting skills are more important than like intellectual knowledge. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes if you don't feel qualified to homeschool, that'll come over time. Like, you can learn right along with your kids. If you're starting to homeschool a kindergartner, listen, you are miles ahead. You got it, okay? You start homeschooling kindergartners, you got it. You know how to read. You're going to be able to teach them how to read. It's real simple. It's real simple to begin when they're young. So if you're going to start homeschooling older kids, there's help out there too. Like, I would suggest getting a homeschool package, maybe. Like, there are on the back of these right here, back of this, there is homeschool curriculums. And what you can do is you can go on one of them. My favorite is My Father's World. That's my favorite as far as a full package. You go to My Father's World website and you say, I want to get the package for sixth grade. It's a whole year included, and it does... Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're trying to piece all this work together and create your whole curriculum. A lot of people have done the work for you out there. There's a lot of homeschool companies, you know, that have done that for you. As far as kindergarten starting, like you're starting with a young kindergartner, I would suggest that too. It's all inclusive. And I like the Christian material because it just brings Jesus into every single subject. And you can really influence your kids to give them this full biblical worldview and win their minds and their hearts to the Lord. So I want to just say, as far as homeschooling with a family, like, choose a good time. I'm just going to go over some of the stages. So, like, younger kids, a little bit older kids, really older kids. So I'm going to just kind of go over that quickly. So choose a good time for your family, okay? During that can be helpful, maybe not during that, okay? You're going to have to decide what's best for your family. And then I would say this, as a tip for younger kids, like, totally satisfy the younger kid. Tickle them, play a game with them, read them a story, roll around outside, totally satisfy them so that their need for you is met, the little one, okay? Then they'll be fine and you can give some full attention to the older kid, okay? And this is hard when you have a toddler. I know some of you guys have toddlers. So hard, toddlers are the number one distraction in homeschool. And, but that's okay. That's your family. That's the way your family is right now. God made your family like that right now, today, and He'll help you. Okay? So, I would say, here's some advice about homeschooling young kids. Keep the subject so short, 5 to 15 minutes. Okay? I know that sounds so short, but I'm telling you, they will learn even with a short time. 5 to 15 minutes with reading, math, maybe a craft. I kind of hate crafts, but the kids kind of like it, so I'll do those occasionally. And then, you know, maybe a little science project if you're that kind of mom. I kind of hate those too, but you can do those. You know, just don't. If you hate something, then do it less often, okay? Crafts are hard for lots of us. If you have lots of kids and then they just make a mess and it's hard. Anyway. It's a good idea to work for 20 minutes and then move on, okay? Because that way their interest is held and they're not bored, okay? I'm talking about young kids here. They'll get so bored and then they'll be weary and they won't enjoy it. And all of a sudden they'll think homeschool and learning is boring and it's weary. And they're not, you know, so you want to keep it pleasurable for them. I think a typical school is so long that kids don't enjoy it anymore because it's so long.
So just a question.
Yes.
When you say, like, those really short, like, at what age would it start being longer than, like, 15?
Oh, like, I mean, I have a nine-year-old, and I'm still keeping her subjects short.
Okay.
I'm keeping them short. Yes.
Are there some subjects, if you have a lot of children, are there some subjects that you can do together.
Oh, yeah. You're jumping ahead. Trust me. I'm on that one. She's asking if you can combine subjects, and yes, you can. Okay, so I'm going to give a little bit more advice. So as far as like homeschooling, keep a general structure, but be really flexible, okay? Because you're going to have different needs of different age kids and different attitudes and good days. You might have a good day, a bad day. You might have something to do, you know, a dentist appointment. So be really flexible. You know, if you're coming from the school mentality, you're going to feel like, I'm not doing it enough. They're not understanding enough. We're not spending enough time. You know, and it's really not about that. It's not meeting some standard of the state. It's not. Homeschool is you taking authority as a parent and educating your child how you feel is very best for them and for your family. Okay, I just want to give you freedom on that. So I would say keep kids together. I mean, combine subjects to keep kids together and with you as much as possible. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example. We can do Bible together. So we'll sit down as a family and read the Bible together. Then we'll sing a song together. And then we'll memorize scripture together. So we just got Bible reading, singing, and a prayer, and song. Did I say memorization? All together. That's all four things together. And that's... And then we can move forward. Let's say now we're going to do history together. Okay, so I'm going to read them some history. You can really do that with extended, multiple ages. Once you have, like, if you got a second grader and a sixth grader, you can sort of keep it together. But, you know, at that point you might want to separate a little for certain subjects. Okay? Now, you can do art and poetry together. When I say art, I mean study an artist. I don't mean do art. I mean, you can look at an artist's work together. That is something all ages, including high school, down to very young. You can look at art together. You can read a poem together. You can listen to music together. You can talk a little bit about the artist in their life. You know, that takes 10 minutes too. That's simple. You can do it all together. And the only subjects that really need to be different, okay, are math and the expectation level of language arts. Okay, so you can have a second, third, fourth, fifth grader together and ask them about, I mean, even up to sixth grade. You can tell them a particular language lesson and then just require higher standards out of the older kids. Okay, like, you're the sixth grader, you give me two paragraphs. You're the first grader, you're the second grader, you give me one sentence. You understand the difference there? Then let me talk about some older kids. So if you homeschool older kids, maybe 10 to 12 years old, they're going to require more time. And their brain has developed to this point where they're able to think more abstractly. They like to argue. They want to disagree. And that's okay. You can teach them to disagree respectfully. It's okay. You can disagree, but I'm going to ask you to say it in this way to me, you know. And you got to say it to that way. You have to be respectful to them too. And they'll copy you. They will be more interested in speaking deeply about things. So you get to really know them and they can get to really know you. I would say ask a lot of questions. Why do you think that? What did you think this character meant when they said that? Would you have done that in that situation, you know, of this character in history? Ask them these questions. And it really gets them to know the subject matter better, and it also gets them learning how to think and to reason and make decisions. And so as far as high school kids go, I wanted to say that they're a lot more independent, and they still need guidance, and they still need, like, checking up on. And this is, like, your prime time to influence them, you know, when they're in high school, their older ages. And they have the best discussions. If you can get them to just open up, I know that is an art sometimes. Mostly it's like you have to ask questions and pray that they'll open up. But when you do, you can see inside their mind and their heart. And then you see, this is their strength. I'm going to get them this book that opens up their academic strength. Okay, so this is homeschool where we're not trying to meet certain standards, but we're saying, okay, they're strong in this area, so I'm going to kind of go heavier on this subject, okay? You still have all these subjects to do to graduate high school, so do them. You know, you can pick a super easy math curriculum for your child if they hate math, and they can still complete it, but you don't have to do the most advanced math. If your kid's great at math, give them the advanced math. I mean, this is the freedom you have as a homeschooler. You might need to get like math videos or science. Find some homeschool science class out there if you don't want to do high school science, you know. I'm just going to say homeschooling requires grace. It requires God's help and his grace. And, you know, each day is going to look different, I think. I think that if you do it, you might think, like, how am I ever going to do this? Okay? So each year I begin and I think, how am I going to get it done? Like, I can feel overwhelmed. And then by the end of the year, we did it. So I don't know how we do it. You know, we just do it. You just plow through. And, you know, sometimes you have a bad day and you didn't get half as much done as you wanted. But that's okay because you're going to go back at it tomorrow. You know? So I just want you to know that's a really common feeling among people who've homeschooled for a long time. They say that, like, I don't know how we do it. We just do it. We just try, and somehow God helps you. And you come out and you realize, wow, your kids are so smart, and they really can learn. They're deep thinkers. You know, they're really absorbing what you're saying to them and teaching them. So I'm going to go forward a little bit more, but before I do, is there any questions anybody has before I move ahead? No. Okay. I'm going to give you an example of how to combine a subject, okay? So for spelling, for a child, I will give them a quote, okay? And this is the quote, or an example of one. It says, folks are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Okay, that was by Abraham Lincoln. Okay, so what I could do is tell them who Abraham Lincoln was. If they're really young, I mean, if they're younger than high school, then you just tell them a little bit of his history, okay? Who this guy is, he's our 16th president, he helped end slavery, he presided over the Civil War, you know, you tell them a few things. Maybe show them a picture. You don't have to do that, but you can. Now you've already instilled wisdom into them, right? Folks are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be. You talk to the kid about what that means. So you're covering history, you're covering wisdom. Then you have them, I'll dictate it to them. I'll say, I'm going to read this to you, and I would like you to write it. So now they have to do proper spelling, proper punctuation, capitalization. Okay, then of an older kid, I'll say, where's the noun? Where's the pronoun? What's its antecedent? What's the verb? You know, do you get it? Where's the direct object? You go as deep as you want. If you really want to go further, you can have the kid diagram it. Okay, so here we're covering lots of subjects all in a 15-minute time. Also, multiple age kids. So we are covering like 4 or 5 important subjects with a couple kids. Do you understand? So this is how you can take homeschool, where in a normal school, it's taken a few hours for each of them, and here we're combining it. Okay? So homeschool can really work for a family. I'm going to give you an example I do for my younger. This is my 9-year-old. And a similar, well, I'll just tell you. I do 5 to 8 minutes with Latin, right? Okay? And then I'm done with my Latin book. And then we do 5 to 8 minutes of handwriting or cursive. Okay? Now we're done. And then we'll do reading or a copybook. Well, excuse me, like maybe she'll do a poem. Okay? We'll talk about this poem that we're talking about. And again, that's more wisdom. And by the way, doing poetry helps them to understand the English language really well, gets them familiar with words that aren't common, and lets them know the beauty in it. Things can rhyme. And anyway, so poetry I've found has been great. Then I'll do a language lesson, okay? It can be an oral language lesson. It could be written. All of these things are 5-10 minutes, okay? Then we'll do math. That's usually 15 or 20 minutes. My whole thing is I want to keep it short. I want to keep it delightful. As soon as she's getting exhausted, as soon as my daughter says, oh, I just can't wait to stop copying this. I said, okay, we'll put it to the side because we're going to be back tomorrow and she can finish copying this tomorrow. Okay? So you don't have to sit and force your kid to get done with this whole page. No matter how upset they feel, they just have to finish it today. It's not how it is. It's not, you know, we don't have a time limit that we're not answering to some teacher to get a grade. You're the teacher. If they're mentally exhausted, then they're done. You can be done. If you keep it short, it helps them to learn to give their full attention. So as long as the child can give their full attention, they're going to absorb a lot more. So it's better if they have their short attention given to something. I mean, their full attention given to something for a short time. They'll get a lot in. And you can get a lot done. So I say, this is a quote I say to my child who's extremely distracted. I say, if you give your full attention for a short time, you'll get a lot done. Okay? Full attention, you get a lot done in a short time. And I think that, I think she'll never forget that saying all her life because I've said it to her so much. Anyway, and that helps kids who have attention problems, you know, you just keep your lessons short and then they'll be cheerfully returning to work the next day. Okay, so I want to give you another like tool that I found to help me, like as far as homeschooling goes. This is not traditional school, right? This is schooling to help a family. Okay, and how to make school so that it's not very long. Like how to avoid worksheets or lots of fill-in-the-blank questions or
multiple choice.
Okay, so this is called narration. So I will pick a book, a really quality book, written by a person that is an expert on a topic. It could be about George Washington. It could be a scientist. Whoever. And I'll just read this quality book with good language. And then I'll read this chapter to them, and I'll say, what do you remember from what I just read to you? And they'll say, tell me in their own words, okay? And basically, they tend to mimic the language of the book that I just read to them. Or they'll use some vocabulary that they didn't know before. And so now they have just absorbed words, concepts, vocabulary, idea, that and repeated it. Okay, so they just, that is as good as a fill in the blank. It's better. Because the fill in the blank is just writing one word down, but this is them thinking it in their mind and figuring out how to make it come out of their mouth. So they have just taught you back what you taught them. So that is how you know that you have understood something, is when you can teach it to somebody else. And here, narration allows your child to do that. So they become, they will grow from within. They will become self-learners. Self-educators, you understand? And they will come to enjoy learning and enjoy different authors and different styles, and they will find pleasure in it too. And so you're setting them up to be lifelong learners instead of what is typical in a school where you're just like, I can't wait till summer and I don't want to learn all summer long, and then when you get out of high school, I never want to read a book again. That kind of mentality is really different for homeschool. Okay, the other thing is, every kid is going to narrate back to you differently, and that's legitimate. The way that they communicate is legitimate. It's going to be different. Each kid is going to say it differently. Some kids actually act it out. They are physical, you know. Like, you know what I'm saying? They'll use words and body language. That's legitimate. You know, you don't have to compare them to other children. They're expressing it in their own way, and it makes them to be more, you know, they'll become writers as they're older, more individualistic instead of following only a pattern. Okay. In fact, before I go on, do you want to tell about your son with the science book? Okay.
So if you're choosing to, Jasmine is very much more literature and creative and narrative based. Some parents said that wouldn't work for them. So you go textbook route. And that's fine. But you still, because you're homeschooling, you're not locked into a system. You still have a lot of freedom within that. So let's say for math, you maybe do every other problem. And this could work for any grade level. And I said last time, check to make sure the answers aren't in the back of the book. You know, sometimes the odd answers are in the back. You know, like, do the opposite of those ones. But let's say they learned the concept. And now you say, okay, do every other problem. Well, you know, in a younger grade level, maybe addition is quick and easy for them to learn. And so they get all the answers right, and now they're not doing 30 problems. It's kind of too much for them. They're like, this is too easy, and I'm just
filling space and filling time. If they get one or two, like, if they get one wrong, you know, they have to correct it. We talk about it. But, you know, you get past two and three, and then you've only done 15 problems out of 30. So that means I think you need to do the other set of half of the problems, because maybe you do need more practice. It's a way to get through it quicker, and their homeschool day. They're not going to take quite as long in a homeschool day. And they're not going to feel like, oh, I can't stand this subject because I'm just doing so much of it. Also, same thing with reading comprehension, like Jasmine was saying. I've often given my children books, and they just talk about it with me. They're you know, having that deep conversation. I do still do tests because I like to evaluate, you know, where they're at. Do you remember stuff? Can you? And test taking is a skill. It is something that, you know, if they go on to higher education, they do need to take written tests. So I do still do tests, but I may not do every comprehension question. That makes their day a lot longer, and I enjoy chopping my vegetables and hearing what they have to say back, you know, and it's them getting it in them and saying it out loud. Also, I have different style learners. I have one son that's a task-oriented, and Helen Keller, when she was being schooled by Ann Sullivan, so she was homeschooled, technically. Mm-hmm. Ann would teach her one subject at a time. So Helen Keller learned one subject at a time, and I call that block learning. I'm not sure what the technical term is for that, but block style learning. So with math, I would still have them do that throughout the day, or throughout the year. I think it would be hard to condense a math curriculum into 4 to 6 weeks. You know, I think that would be like, you'd have to do so much, especially in the higher grade levels. It'd just be mind-blowing. So I keep that one spread throughout a school year. But maybe history, science, and some of their other elective classes, I give it to them, and they do it. So my one son, he'll do that in 4 to 6 weeks. And then, boom, he's done. He's task-oriented, and he feels a measure of success when he can just say, I'm done with this, and he puts it aside. You know, music or things that he loves, art or whatever, can be happening simultaneously, you know, or PE, but the core subject will be one subject. I'm not going to have him do history, science, English, you know, all at the same time, math and everything. Other kids, that didn't work for them. You know, I'm a trial and error, like, you know, like, oh, guinea pig, okay, that didn't work. Let's move on to something different. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. They're all very intelligent. You know what I mean? Yep. They're great communicators. And my one son, he did 3 science books in a school year in high school, 3 grade levels of science books, because we did still do some experiments with, you know, biology and chemistry where you need to do that. We didn't do every experiment that was listed. We only did some. And he didn't do all the comprehension questions. But instead, he would sit there and he would just read it like a reading book and absorb it in. And he'd be telling me all about it. And he's my kid now that, you know, has all these weird random facts in his head. He's now self-educating himself. He likes to, you know, he's telling me the stopcock theory. And that leads to, like, the visual cortex and how your brain works with your vision. And then he's talking about chickens and how they run, and their heads like bob like this, but their eyeballs stay level, and all these weird things. And I'm like, okay, random facts. But you know what? He's listening to things and learning and getting educated in physics and other things that, you know, is very intelligent, actually. And I can't quite understand it all, but he does. And so there's so many nuances and ways to be able to school your child. And if you're choosing a more literature-based or creative-based route like Jasmine does, she just mapped out how easy and beautiful that can be. And if you choose a more textbook route, it can still be beautiful and simple. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. We're not in the public school where we have to sit down and say, you have to answer every question, you have to dot every, and do every quiz, and do every test, and do everything, and do every report, and do every experiment. And you know, that makes my day just so much longer and harder, and their day longer and harder. So anyway, that's all I wanted to add to that.
Yeah. That was great. So I've used textbooks before, like her, and I did exactly, she just told us how her son narrated to her. He narrated to her, and he didn't fill out all the work, but he absorbed the information. So I just wanted you to know that that is very legitimate way of learning. And something else that I've read books about narration, and there's a whole history to it. You know, there is Greeks and monks and some Hebrews, like thousands of years ago, their learning style was that. It was repeating. It was a conversation-based education where the kids are saying what they've learned instead of always writing answers. And that is something, like the whole full-blown textbook style quizzes and comprehension questions, fill in the blank, that is designed for a classroom. Mm-hmm. So at home, it's not needed. And it's more enjoyable not doing that.
We have 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. As far as, there's something, this is my experience, I just want to tell you, as far as, I went to school, I wasn't really homeschooled, and I had a really hard time when I started, because I thought that my kid has to finish everything from the beginning to the end, and I would sit, and the tears would come, and I knew they wanted to quit, but the page wasn't finished yet, so we had to stay here until it is, and it was really kind of miserable for both of us. My daughter calls division the dark days. She said, those are our dark days, because I was like, well, you're not done with this page, you know, like, you've got to finish this page, and I would never do that now. Once the crying starts, it's like, it's over, you know, we'll come back to this tomorrow. So I'm just saying, if you're going to move your kid from public school to homeschool, it's going to be a paradigm shift in your mind. And I wanted to tell you a little bit, before I go on, is there any questions? Yes.
You can go first.
Okay.
Oh, just about a couple, but you mentioned, like, for older kids, like, doing experiments and things like that, and testing. A, do you have, where do we get all of these things to do? Because I'm like very science-based, I'm a nurse, so I like love all of that mm-hmm. stuff, but I don't know where you would get any of that. Also with the testing, you know, you measure your kids' learning different, and you're talking about testing. Is there a requirement for testing? I know it says like not for state testing, but you don't have to show that they've been tested in subjects
no.
and things like that.
There is no requirement for showing that your kids have met any assessment or standard. There's no testing for that.
Even at the end to graduate?
Well, to graduate high school, there is no assessment test to prove anything. Okay. Your record keeping is enough as the parent.
Oh, okay.
Yes?
Did you already talk about doing college and high school simultaneously?
I did in the big session.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the question was, basically, yes, you can do high school and college at the same time. You have a high schooler, they can take college courses and get credit for both. And that's great. Some kids graduate high school with a lot of college done. Yes?
My question is just if you have any resources for, like, songs. Like, I have, like, 2-4 years where I didn't grow up with all the Christian songs.
Yeah.
I'm not musical. I don't know songs. So do you have anywhere where you
yes.
can, like, I wouldn't know lyrics to be able to teach
okay, so songs? Do we have resources for teaching kids songs? Okay. So, yes, we do. This is really, really easy and very simple, okay? You don't even have to need to know the lyrics. What you do is you look up on a CD or on Spotify an album for children's hymns, okay? And so that's how I teach my kids doctrine. So there's so much Christian doctrine. Christian hymns are rich with Christian doctrine, okay? And honestly, if you start with Christmas hymns, mm-hmm. those are thick, rich with Christian doctrine. So I just take a Christmas hymn. It is as simple as literally playing it every time you get in the car. You can keep it at that, okay? Sometimes, if you want to go deeper, we will sit down together and we'll talk about what this verse means. And because some of the words are just beyond the kids, okay? So I tell them what these words mean. When they're really little, it doesn't matter. You can't explain it to them because they're so young that they don't need to know what it means. They'll just sing along. And then when you're older, you'll talk about what it means. And you're just having these great theological discussions. And it was all written out for you in a song. Anyway, so you can start with Christmas, and then you can go to just go to some, you know, 25 best hymns that every kid should know. And just find that album and play it. It's real simple. You can go to American Patriotic Songs, too. I teach my kids that because those teach American history and a love of country. And you can talk about why it's important to love your country and to do your country good and how to be a good citizen and on. It opens up. The songs are great. Songs are an amazing tool. I'll tell you a little bit more, but Classical Conversations, if you want to look this up, they have a timeline song. I mean, you can learn the timeline of world history. It's a 12-minute timeline song. I can rattle it all off in my head. We played it in the car a lot, you know. So and it starts with creation. It's a Christian-based timeline song. So is there any other question?
Sing the song.
Timeline.
It's 12 minutes. We don't have time.
As far as I want to, so if you, I'll just point to this. If you want to look at the back of this page, the resources, I'm going to point with my finger. These are things that I recommend. Sandy could share one if she wants to. But right here is a book called Mother Culture, kind of in the middle. It's not too long, which is part of why I'm recommending it. It's a shorter book. It doesn't look short because it's thick. And every other page has a antique, you know, image from the last century of like mothers and children in teaching. It's really pretty. I think it's like a picture book for moms. But in it, this woman who is a homeschool mom, she wrote this book with stories of herself and her experiences, but she also gives good advice about how to teach, how to homeschool. And anyways, when I read this a couple years ago, and I thought, man, if only I had known this when I started homeschooling, because I learned some things the hard way, and if I had read her book, then I would have avoided some mistakes. So when there's wisdom out there available to you and you can avoid mistakes, like, go there, read that book. That's Mother Culture. Then if you go down here, there's the Teaching from Rest and the Unhurried Homeschooler. Both of them are mercifully short, and they're really good advice, both written by moms. Both of them are homeschool moms. So it's really just, they give you, these are just three different examples of people who live homeschool out and how it worked for their family. And it'll, when you read it, you feel like, you know, it's almost like you feel equipped. Like, I can do this. It's not too hard. You know, there, and they talk about how to make it work in a family environment instead of the thought that you're bringing school, you know, the school structure into your house. It's very different.
You got a couple, like 2 minutes.
Okay.
Quick, tell them about.
Okay, I want to tell you about this. These two, well, these are my two favorites. I mean, other people like them too, but as far as like when you're homeschooling a family, these two curriculums were written, it's called My Father's World in the Middle and then Simply Charlotte Mason. They were written literally for families. Instead of taking like a Beckett, which is, it's good material, but it's written for school. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's written for a classroom. So instead of taking this good material written for a classroom and trying to do it at home, mm-hmm. I do My Father's World written for families. Okay? And written for the environment of like multiple ages even. And they are Christian based and they are simple. Simply Charlotte Mason is simple. I actually think My Father's World is simpler. More simple. Anyway, there's also one other resource that you might want to get. And there, it's right here. It's Simply Charlotte Mason videos. I wrote the word videos because they're like 5 to 10 to 15 minute videos. She gives you good advice about how to teach every subject, anything you want. And when you watch her, you just think, I can do it. She's just really great advice. And they must, she must have a, I don't know, 40 or 50 videos. And so, Simply Charlotte Mason videos.
SimplyCharlotte.com.
Yeah, simplycharlottemason.com. Yeah.
It's on the back of the flyer. Is the yeah. Simply Charlotte Mason. You just look up any of these curriculum names, and it'll pop up, and you can look in it. School of Tomorrow has a great learning to read program. If your child's you know, entering into kindergarten and learning to read, School of Tomorrow has a great beginner reader program.
Yeah.
Very easy to use, and the kids are great readers halfway through the school year.
And I'm just saying that I'm giving you the ones that I have experience with that are really tailor-made to home. So that's but why there's other good ones. Yeah. They're good.
Yeah. But we didn't put anything in here that we didn't think was good.
No, yeah. This is my personal, you know, this is just my personal experience that I would highly recommend the ones that, what I just recommended, I highly recommend.
Yep.
Any questions? Yes.
So I have a preschooler. There wouldn't probably be a curriculum.
Yes, there's preschool curriculum. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So My Father's World does it, and I think Beautiful Feet does it too. I mean, not Beautiful Feet. The Good and the Beautiful. But I would recommend My Father's World even, because it's, well, just because I recommend.
Any last questions?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. 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 Okay.